Good morning. I'm Representative Dave Pinto. I'm the chair of the House Early Childhood Finance and Policy Committee, and I'm calling this meeting of the committee to order. This meeting is being held pursuant to House Rule 10.01, which allows for virtual meetings of this type. I want to direct the attention of members of the public to our committee website, where you'll find an agenda and meeting materials and various things there, so check that out. We'll start by having Mr. Doeslin take the roll, please.
Good morning, everyone. Chair Pinto.
Present.
Vice Chair Pryor.
Present.
Lead Franzen.
Present.
Representative Bennett is excused. Representative Bolden.
Present.
Representative Daniels.
Present.
Representative Daphne. Representative Daphne.
I think he was going to be a little bit late.
All right. Representative Damuth.
Present.
Representative Juergens.
Juergens present.
Representative Cotiza Watum.
Present.
Representative Morrison.
Morrison present.
Representative Wasliwick.
Wasliwick present.
And Representative Wolgamott.
Wolgamott present.
Thank you all. We have a quorum. You're muted, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Doeslin. Thank you, members, for the roll call, for being present. And Vice Chair Pryor, if you could please move approval of our minutes from April 5th.
So moved.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. So, members, any additions or corrections to our minutes from Tuesday? So not hearing any, all in favor of approval of our minutes from April 5th, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, that motion passes and our minutes are approved. So members and members of the public, we are continuing to review our budget proposal for the session. It's contained in the DE2 amendment to House File 4735. And members of the public, you'll find that on our committee website, so you can follow along and take a look at that. Yesterday, we walked through the content of the bill and we're open for some questions, walked through the fiscal impact, et cetera. Today, we're going to hear testimony on the bill, and then the plan is that tomorrow we will review any amendments and then have a discussion and vote on the bill. So we are really lucky to be joined by a couple of our commissioners, starting with Commissioner Harpstead, and I'm so grateful to have her with us. And welcome to you, and we will open up our testimony by having you share your thoughts on the bill, and it's always a pleasure to have you with us. So thanks. Please identify yourself if you can for the record, and then proceed.
Good morning, Chair Pinto and members of the committee. I'm Jody Harpstead, the Commissioner of the Department of Human Services. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today on your omnibus budget proposal. It's very clear that your budget reflects the same priority of the Walz Flanagan administration, that Minnesota should be the best place for all children to grow up in. One of the issues I've been most focused on this session is the caring professions workforce. And I've often said that the childcare workforce is the workforce behind the workforce. And we can't begin to tackle the overall problem without meaningful investment in our early childhood system. We're grateful that your omnibus budget package includes many of the governor's priorities for DHS programs and services that serve children, most notably increasing the Child Care Assistance Program, CCAP, payment rates to the 75th percentile, as well as expanding the definition of family under the program, which will help ensure that the cost of child care is not a barrier to becoming a foster care provider, particularly for a child's relatives. CCAP serves approximately 15,000 families and 30,000 children each month, and an average of 2,650 child care providers receive payments each month, and these investments will have a major impact on their lives. Providing grants to support child care providers who've experienced significant hardship through the pandemic. We appreciate that the House has proposed to invest more funding in this space as this sector needs all the help it can get. Child care support services, including local technical assistance for child care providers, training and recruitment of qualified staff to work in the child care sector, child care shared services alliances, and support for provider business practices through technology access and supports. We also appreciate your efforts to serve more families through the basic sliding fee program. While your bill and the governor's budget take different approaches, we're working toward the same goals and are pleased to see the investments you have in the bill. Lastly, thank you for including the DHS policy proposals related to child care licensing. This language will be important to ensuring we can successfully move forward with our child care licensing modernization work. Thank you for all your work to improve Minnesota's early childhood years. We look forward to working together over the coming weeks on these important issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Commissioner, and many thanks for your work. We are so lucky to have you leading DHS. So glad to have you with us. And turning to then another commissioner, Commissioner Mueller, and we are lucky, I should say, in our committee that we, it can be a challenge sometimes, but it's also a real opportunity to get to work with such terrific leaders in multiple agencies. So we have Commissioner Mueller with us. And Commissioner, please share your thoughts, if you can, identify yourself and then proceed. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Heather Mueller, and I am the Commissioner of Education. Thank you for the opportunity to provide my support for Chair Pinto's Omnibus Early Childhood Bill. There is so much in here that aligns with the early childhood components of the Governor's and Lieutenant Governor's Due North Plan. This bill delivers many effective but evidence-based strategies to set our littlest learners up for academic, social, emotional, and behavioral success. I first want to thank Chair Pinto again for carrying the targeted pre-kindergarten proposal. This proposal will effectively leverage Pathway $2 along with the PK and School Readiness Plus funding to lift up 23,000 four-year-olds in need. That proposal allows us to refocus the Early Learning Scholarship Program on portable Pathway 1 scholarships that provide parents the choice of high-quality early learning opportunities for their young children. That's why I'm also pleased to see Chair Pinto's significant investment in Pathway 1 scholarships, as well as prioritizing the program on children younger than four and children with an incarcerated parent. We've also heard consistently from our partners that mental health support is of the utmost concern, and I'm glad that this bill focuses on that in the early childhood space, because mental health is not just an older student matter. The inclusion of funding for infant and early childhood mental health consultations in schools will provide a key measure that meets community needs and builds supports at an early stage for mental health and social emotional learning that is prevention in a prevention setting. However, to provide these services, as you also heard from Commissioner Harpstead, we need more qualified providers. Thank you for including funding to provide social workers dedicated to early childhood systems. Our workforce pressures extend outside of the mental health space to our whole education system. And last year, the legislature took a giant leap by focusing on diverse teacher recruitment. We must build upon that and support this bill's funding for Grow Your Own programming to build a more representative early childhood workforce. I'm so pleased to see funding for ECFE teacher licensure support. This will support much needed scholarships for students from rural areas and or from traditionally underrepresented communities to attend the University of Minnesota's Parent and Family Education Program. Finally, I'd also mention that I welcome the much-needed expansion of allowable uses for Head Start funds, the Tribal Head Start set aside, and breakfast and English learning funding for young learners receiving special education services. Chair Pinto, thank you again for putting forward this very strong investment in our youngest learners and for capturing this historic opportunity we have in front of us with the surplus to change the trajectories of Minnesota's children for the better.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Mueller. Really appreciate you being here and for all of your work. I do want to highlight for members of the public, just so we're understanding, that the pre-K portion of our budget voted out last week, and that part of the education budget, and we have the rest of it today. And I'm so grateful to you, Commissioner Mueller, for the partnership and for all the work that you do. I'm so glad to have you here. So thank you. And now turning to Assistant Commissioner Aaron Bailey from Minnesota Management and Budget, Executive Director of the Children's Cabinet, who I've gotten to work with especially closely, and I'm really grateful to her for her work as well. So, Assistant Commissioner, please identify yourself and proceed.
Good morning, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Aaron Bailey, and I'm Executive Director of Minnesota's Children's Cabinet, housed at Minnesota Management and Budget. The Children's Cabinet is housed at MMB, but is an interagency partnership the governor has charged with leveraging cross-agency coordination, and we work with the commissioners here and many others to align people, data, money, and policy around children. As a leader working with these commissioners and agency leaders, I'm pleased to be here this morning with my colleagues at MDE and DHS to share support for proposals within House File 4735, and especially these incredible investments in young children, their families, and communities. The proposals align with the governor's historic proposed investments that we worked with advocates, state leaders, and many of you to create to support early care and education access and the workforce. We are grateful for the committee's work and collaboration with the administration and early childhood advocates, stakeholders, and families. The effect of the pandemic shed further light on the fact that we have yet to build out the early childhood system that our children, families, communities, and economies need. As a mother of two children under the age of five, I feel this each and every day. This committee has long recognized these shortcomings in our state investments in young children and those who care for them. We appreciate the collaboration and alignment with the governor's proposals and work towards establishing this early childhood system. We need to truly create a mixed delivery approach supporting all childcare provider types, increasing a variety of funding streams supporting family access, and enhancing supports for the early care and education workforce. We have heard specific alignment and support from, with the governor's budget from our commissioners. I'll again just quickly highlight investments in the childcare assistance program, including efforts to eliminate the wait list nearly entirely and increase rates to the 75th percentile of market rates, which is the federal standard for equal access. The early learning scholarship program, including expanding prioritization of children of incarcerated parents and our youngest Minnesotans in accessing the program. The childcare businesses and workforce through continued stabilization, grant funding, workforce development grants, and the one-stop assistance network, and many more. And the wraparounds for family supports like expanded infant and early childhood mental health consultation, early childhood social workers, and effective programs like Reach Out and Read. The research is clear that when we invest in young children and their families, we are supporting not only their healthy development to help them succeed in school and life, but we are supporting the economy and the workforce now and into the future. Thanks for the diligent work and collaboration on this proposal, and I look forward to working with all of you to ensure that we invest a significant portion of our more than $9 billion budget surplus in our youngest children and families, an investment that is long overdue and will pay dividends into the future. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you so much, Assistant Commissioner Bailey, and thank you to you and your team for your just incredibly hard work over the last couple of years. Thank you. So members and members of the public, we're going to be turning to public testimony. As we do, I want to direct the attention of members of the public again to our website, where there's a series of letters and input from a variety of sources and commenting on the bill, and so you'll want to check that out. And I'm going to ask these speakers, if you can, to keep yourselves each of you to 3 minutes. We're going to start with Dr. Roger Sheldon. If you can please identify yourself. I'm so glad to have you with us, and then proceed.
Thank you, Chair Pinto. My name is Roger Sheldon. I'm a retired neonatologist or neonatal pediatrician and an emeritus professor of pediatrics at the University of Oklahoma, where I practiced and taught for 31 years. I'm also a founder of the organization called Doctors for Early Childhood. I moved to Minnesota in 2010, and I'm here today representing our Minnesota chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics and its Early Childhood Working Group, of which I'm a co-chair. We're not fast enough to respond to each and every line item, so I'd like to speak in general about the overall omnibus bill. You've already heard from many Minnesota experts about the incredible but rapidly slowing growth of the brain in the first few years, about pruning, where the brain cells and connections that are not used are pruned away, never to return, and how this explains the one-time 3 to 4 year opportunity for each child to build his or her ideal brain. You've heard about how failures or major adversity or toxic stress at this age affects everything that follows: learning, achievement, generational poverty, children and adult mental health, school dropouts, incarceration, even heart disease and diabetes, all affected adversely. You've heard from businesses, hospitals, hospitality, and other industries that cannot find enough workers, partly because our young parents can't earn enough to pay for the child care, if they can find child care at all. We also know that all new parents experience a panic the day they take their baby home. You remember that? A desperate call for help and direction in caring for and educating their new child, which it turns out are one and the same. We very much need these licensed parent educators to build that program in the early child and family education system to take advantage of this teachable moment and meet that need. That same knowledge and direction is needed by the child care workers, who are required by a majority of our young families when all of the available parents must work. This bill addresses that need very much. You probably know all this stuff already, and you probably believe it. all pediatricians and virtually all physicians understand and believe it, and we strongly support and expect action on early childhood. The facts are clear. The money is available. This situation is a full-scale emergency, with 60,000 more Minnesotans being born into this mess every year. And as Sheriff Jim Leslie told you Friday, it's a pay me now or pay me later situation, one with a 13-to-1 payoff for paying now. Here are a couple of questions for you. Why would an intelligent, proud, and solvent state rightly support each child in K-12 public education at roughly $10,000 annually, while spending only a few hundred dollars each for those in the crucial first 4 years, when averaged over all eligible kids? We know now that the needs are greater at this age than later. And why would we be giving back billions when we face such an existential crisis? We believe your omnibus bill addresses many, perhaps most, of these shortfalls, and we thank you for your support. Please continue working with us as the child advocates we know you to be. Please talk with us and introduce us to the hesitant senator from your district or any other district. Senators are mostly parents and grandparents, too, and many are also sensitive to the workforce shortage. Please call on us at the Academy of Pediatrics for support. We will be calling on you and asking our senators to step up. Thank you for the opportunity to support this very badly needed budgetary legislation, and I'll be sticking around for questions if needed.
Dr. Sheldon, thank you so much for the powerful words to kick us off. I just can't resist noting the 60,000 more kids being born into, as you say, into this mess every year. I really appreciate your comments, so thank you. Moving to another physician, we have Sheldon Berkowitz, and so glad to have you with us. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Pinto and members of the Early Childhood Finance and Policy Committee. Thank you for allowing me to speak before you today. My name is Dr. Sheldon Berkowitz. I'm a pediatrician at Children's Minnesota and also the president of the Minnesota chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, representing 1,000 pediatricians around the state who provide care for all our children. I'm here to speak in support of HF 4735, the Omnibus Early Childhood Finance and Policy Bill. The Minnesota chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics supports all efforts to increase funding for early childhood initiatives that will enhance the health, education, care, and opportunities of our young children. Access to early childhood education has consistently been shown to correlate with long-term educational attainment, as well as improvements in youth well-being. The impact of all early childhood support on a child's brain development and life trajectory cannot be overstated. Our chapter is happy to see support for the following in this bill: the Brain Builders Bonus Grant Program for child care providers and grants to improve child care providers' access to technology, increased allocations for the Child Care Assistance Program, or CCAP, as well as the CCAP maximum rate, increased funding for early education programs, including early learning scholarships and the Head Start program, early childhood developmental screening, as well as early childhood family education, also known as ECFE, increased school meal funding, and increased funding for Reach Out and Read, which is a phenomenal program aimed at making reading a basic part of how parents and caregivers interact with their children. This bill aligns closely with many of the aspects of expansion and increased funding for early childhood initiatives that our own chapter has identified as one of our core strategic priorities for the next 3 years. I hope that this committee will pass this bill with strong support. Thank you for the opportunity to speak before you today, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much, Dr. Berkowitz, and thanks for your leadership and your work. I'm turning to Amanda Schillinger. If you can please identify yourself, welcome, and proceed.
Hello, Chair Pinto and everyone here today. My name is Amanda Schillinger, and I am the Director of Pumpkin Patch Child Care and Learning Centers in Burnsville. And today, I want to thank you for caring about our state's children and for the steps you are taking to address the crisis our child care programs and families with young children are facing. I know the difference quality early childhood education makes in the lives of the families we serve. And I was reminded of this when we received a note on a graduation announcement for a child who had attended our program when he was much younger. This was a child who really struggled when he was young. His mother was writing to thank us for the role we played in getting him to his high school graduation day and enrolled in a local community college. You see, childcare programs don't just watch after children. We are a launching pad for all future learning. But high quality childcare is expensive and comes with a cost that families and childcare programs are not able to afford on their own. Childcare programs spend approximately 60 to 70% of their budgets on staffing costs, leaving very little room for their many other expenses. And families in Minnesota spend up to 20% of their income on childcare. And this percentage can double or even triple for families of color and single parents. When our state invests in our youngest Minnesotans, we are investing in our economy and the future of our state. Employers throughout this state are struggling with a worker shortage, which impacts all Minnesotans. The lack of affordable childcare is a direct contributor to this challenge. Parents cannot go to work if they can't find or afford care for their children. I am supporting HF 4735 because it will make high quality childcare more affordable and accessible for many families in our state by increasing the childcare assistance reimbursement rate to the 75th percentile, permanently reprioritizing the CCAP waiting list, expanding the definition of family, and increasing funding and eligibility for early learning scholarships. It also does so much to support the work that we as childcare programs do to support the children and families. Supporting early childhood education and childcare programs is so important because the children growing up today will be the adults who run our state, our country, and our world in the not too distant future. And I know we all want them to have the opportunity to grow up to be the leaders who make this a better place for everyone. I want to thank you all for the work that you are doing.
Ms. Schillinger, thank you for being with us and for your important work with young kids. We really appreciate it. Thank you. Moving on to Ms. Sanford, if you can please identify yourself and proceed.
Good morning, Chair Pinto and members. My name is Claire Sanford, and I am the Government Relations Chair for the Minnesota Child Care Association. I'm pleased to be here in support of this bill in two capacities. In my first capacity, I represent Kids Can't Wait, a coalition of nonprofit, faith, child care, and business advocates. Kids Can't Wait strongly supports the child care assistance and stabilization grant portions of this bill. Our coalition has spent years working to help bring our state into compliance with both federal law and federal recommendations involving child care assistance. We're thrilled to see rates proposed at the federally recommended 75th percentile. Minnesota was there 20 years ago. This is not a moonshot. It's just getting back to where we were. While we'd hope to see forecasting of the basic sliding fee portion of child care assistance, we're pleased to see the permanent reprioritization of the basic sliding fee waitlist, which is a prudent step in the process of keeping waitlists down and moving families through and off them more quickly when they do exist. The temporary reprioritization currently in place, passed last session, thank you everyone, has allowed counties to make great strides in service to eligible families, and combined with increased reimbursement rates, these two advances would do a lot to increase parent purchasing power and choice in childcare, as well as provider resources for quality operations and compensation. Finally, in the child care assistance space, we're also very happy to see the definition of family change so that those foster parents, guardians, and custodians who have stepped up to support our most vulnerable children can access child care assistance. Such families are doing a great service both to these children and to our entire community and deserve access to this program to help them meet the challenge they took on without having to sacrifice their family's economic stability. Kids Can't Wait also supports the extension of child care stabilization grants, a first step in recognizing the need for the public good that is child care to receive a minimum base amount of reliable, consistent funding, much of it in this case directed to increased provider compensation. We need comprehensive, multi-pronged solutions to address our child care challenges, and this combination of child care assistance investment and reform, plus an ongoing direct investment in provider stability, is a powerful combination for families, providers, and the economy that depends on them. Speaking of comprehensive solutions, I'm going to put on my other hat now and speak in support of several other elements of this bill from the Minnesota Child Care Association perspective. The Minnesota Child Care Association is a statewide membership organization, specifically of licensed and certified child care centers. We support everything I just talked about, obviously. We're a member of Kids Can't Wait, but we're also excited to see the Early Learning Scholarship Investment and Age Eligibility, it's too early, expansion for infants and toddlers. We know we must do more to help families in the infant toddler years when they have the fewest resources, but the highest cost for childcare and also the most rapid period of brain development. We're also excited to see two early childhood workforce proposals included, the cost estimation model and a proposed wage scale. We also hope to see inclusion of an updated early childhood workforce study as the process moves forward. Not that many years ago, we were all trying to sound the alarm on the specific workforce challenges of our industry and the need for direct and intentional intervention and support. So thank you for listening and responding to the workforce behind the workforce, as Commissioner Harpstead said earlier. Finally, thank you for the investment in planning IT modernization for programs supporting early childhood. Part of being good stewards of public dollars is ensuring that our state's IT infrastructure can keep up with changing demands needed to execute the services provided. And if I had a dime for every time I'd been told that we couldn't make a common sense improvement for efficiency, family experience, provider experience, data sharing, what have you, because our state IT systems didn't support it, I would be able to fund this committee's target and happy to do so. So thank you very much for this suite of investments in reform, and that, providers, thank you.
Thank you so much for your leadership, Ms. Sanford. We may need to start that dime collection until we get our IT bill passed. That's a separate conversation. As we reach the halfway mark for testifiers, members, just to note, if folks have clarifying questions on any of these testifiers, I'm assuming you all feel comfortable raising your hand, and we'll do that. Otherwise, I think we'll be sticking around in case there are questions. I don't know that there will be, but if members do have any, it looks like we'll have plenty of time for that. So just to highlight. Ms. Strong-Belisle, welcome to you, and please identify yourself and then proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Good morning. I'm Sarah Strong-Belisle with Cook Girard Associates, and I'm testifying today on behalf of Close Gaps by Five. It will come as no surprise to this committee that Close Gaps by Five is strongly supportive of the increased funding for early learning scholarships in this bill. We appreciate Chair Pinto's commitment to funding high quality early learning and the recognition that scholarships, which follow what the research says is needed to close opportunity and achievement gaps, are a critical part of getting Minnesota's kids off to a great start. There's no question that this is a significant and smart investment for our youngest kids and their parents. We're also supportive of the proposal to expand scholarship eligibility to ages 0 to 5 and to add children with incarcerated parents as a scholarship priority group. Priority groups have proven to be a tremendously effective tool for targeting resources to the most vulnerable children. We also appreciate the repeal of the language that enables Pathway 2 scholarships. Pathway 2 is intended from the start to be temporary, and it is well past time to bring the entire scholarship program in line with the proven piloted version. We do have a concern with the provision that would reduce the time parents have to choose a program to use their scholarship from 10 months to 3 months. While this was a change we have supported in the past, we're concerned it may not be the best time to make the change right now. Since the start of the pandemic, families are much more frequently taking longer to find programs or to feel comfortable starting their children in new programs. So we'd ask that you give that provision some thought as the bill moves forward. Looking at the access portion of this package as a whole, we are concerned that it continues to take a four-year-olds first and kindergarten down approach, which runs counter to where the research tells us we need to go, as well as the direction this committee has been moving. I will not repeat all of our concerns with the VPK proposal that we shared last week, but I will underscore that we believe that approach will result in less equitable opportunities for infants and toddlers. We know that is not the intent and would respectfully ask that you consider the impacts moving to this VPK system would have on our youngest children as this moves forward. We have an existing parent-driven, Minnesota-created, quality-focused mixed delivery program in existence today that serves infants, toddlers, and four-year-olds. through early learning scholarships. Scholarships have bipartisan support, not only in this committee, but in the legislature as a whole. And we know from the substantial investment in scholarships in the governor's supplemental budget that they also have the support of the Walz-Flanagan administration. And there's a critical intersection between high quality early care and learning with other pressing policy challenges facing the legislature in areas like workforce and public safety. That makes an increased investment in scholarships right now pay even bigger dividends. We have the resources, we have the will. There's no excuse not to make this investment this year. Now is the time. So thank you again, Chair Pinto, for this meaningful investment in the bill, and to all of you for continuing to fight for Minnesota's youngest kids. There's a long way to go yet this session, but we look forward to our continued work together. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Strong-Belisle, and thanks to Close Gaps by Five for your work to close opportunity gaps. And we've got Mr. Craig Gretke up next. And so, Mr. Gretke, if you can identify yourself and proceed.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Craig Gretke. I'm the executive director of the Minnesota Head Start Association. And I will keep my comments brief. So many of my colleagues have shared key points to this legislation that we find it very important. And so what I would say is I really want to thank you, first off, for making these investments in all the kids in Minnesota across all of the systems. I remember years ago meeting with Chair Pinto and many of you saying that we needed to come together. Unfortunately, it was a crisis that brought us together, but it did bring us together. And we do have a comprehensive package that will deliver a lot of things for the highest risk, most diverse, needy kids in Minnesota. So I appreciate that. On the Head Start and Early Head Start side of things, the investment in Early Head Start, the new investment in Early Head Start, will get much needed services out to families in Minnesota, across Minnesota, in our very rural communities where there's not much, if any, infant and toddler care. So we really appreciate that and the ability to expand services. The addition of pre-K to Grow Your Own. Workforce stability is key, and in Head Start and Early Head Start and in other sectors, we understand that we need to rebuild workforce in Minnesota to serve children. And the Grow Your Own model will piggyback onto some of the work that Head Start and Early Head Start has done already. It will expand that, and we will generate a workforce, and hopefully that workforce will go on to serve children in other settings. Head Start is a starting place for family, for staff to get a lot of really good skills and move on. So we anticipate growing a really strong workforce. And about 10% of our, about 20% of our workforce comprises of Head Start parents and bring them up and elevating them. So this is a great opportunity for us. The additional mental health supports. Again, based on what we understand from the crisis of work we're living through these last couple of years, the expanded domestic violence issues that we've seen, substance use issues, all of the impacts on families that we're seeing in this realm, the additional dollars going into mental health supports will not only stabilize families, but will help stabilize staffing and give staff other resources to work with these very difficult situations. The 10.72 set aside to stabilize tribal programs so that their funding doesn't fluctuate will greatly benefit all programs. As many of you know, the tribal programs are embedded in areas where there are other programs existing, but they serve a very unique population. And the stability for that population is much needed. They could serve a lot more kids with funding. So this is going to be very good for them. And lastly, the flexibilities that have been added to the language will really help programs build out infrastructure, will allow them to do things that they haven't been able to do with state funding. And again, update facilities, make changes from Head Start to Early Head Start, make key kinds of infrastructure investments that will be long-lasting And so with that, I would just like to say I appreciate and the Head Start Association membership really appreciates these investments, not just in Head Start and Early Head Start, but in all of early ed that this committee has made. Thank you again.
Mr. Greidke, thanks for your leadership with Head Start. I appreciate you being here. We've got Angie Tice up next. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Angie Teese, and I am the Child Wellbeing Policy Analyst with the Association of Minnesota Counties. And I am here today on behalf of the Association of Minnesota Counties and the Minnesota Association of County Social Service Administrators, or MACSA. We would like to thank you very much for including Chair Pinto and Vice Chair Pryor for including the basic sliding fee CCAP provisions in the omnibus bill. Access to affordable child care is central to our state's economic vitality. The child BSF CCAP supports families with that are striving to work. The temporary changes made in 2021 are already having a dramatic impact, allowing families like those in Anoka, or allowing counties like those in Anoka to clear their waiting list, which is tremendous. And while the data is great, the real magic of this program is reflected in stories like a woman I'll call Jane. She is a single woman living in Carver County with two kids who applied for child care assistance. At the time of her application, she was working part-time, and because of the basic sliding fee CCAP, she started a new full-time job, nearly doubling her income to $18 per hour. There are hundreds of more families like Jane's out there, and for them, we say thank you. Again, Chair Pinto and Vice Chair Pryor and members of this committee, thank you so very much for including the BSF CCAP provisions in this bill, and we look forward to working with you to ensure its passage.
Ms. Teese, thanks for being here and for your work. We've got Chris Gable up next. If you can please identify yourself and proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I am Chris Gable. I'm the District Supervisor for Early Childhood Programs in the Southern Metro in Rochester for the YMCA of the North. My comments are on behalf of the Minnesota Alliance of YMCAs, and I, too, am speaking on behalf of Kids Can't Wait, a coalition of nonprofit, faith, childcare, and business advocates. Together, we want to thank Chair Pinto and urge the committee to for support for the critical child care assistance program investments in House File 4735. The child care assistance program is the largest form of child care support for low-income working families in our state and allows parents to work and contribute to the economy while providing shelter and food for their families. This bill returns Minnesota to the 75th percentile provider reimbursement rate that was in place 20 years ago when I first began my career in child care. Even with last year's increase, rates continue to be well below the market rate for far too many providers and keeps us from hiring staff. The YMCA's ability to pay qualified teachers and the resulting staffing shortage impacts our ability to open more classrooms and increase access to child care for all families. This bill also addresses the waitlist for CCAP. By permanently reprioritizing the waitlist, the bill ensures more access to support sooner and moves us closer to eliminating waitlists entirely. Finally, we appreciate the long-term support for child care providers in the form of ongoing stabilization grants. Again, the economics of child care were broken before the pandemic hit us so hard, and child care assistance program investments alone won't fix the challenges that are facing us every day. Businesses in every community we serve across the state tell us that child care is their most pressing need, as many workers cannot enter or re-enter the workforce because they can't find child care or find affordable child care. This bill helps meet those needs. Thank you again so much for the opportunity to testify today, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Gable. Thanks for being here, and thanks to the YMCA for the work that you do with kids. Appreciate it. My final testifier signed up is Nancy Jost. So glad to have you with us. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Good morning, Chair Pinto and members of the committee. My name is Nancy Jost. I'm the Director of Early Childhood at West Central Initiative, and I'm also the co-chair for the Minnesota Prenatal to 3 Coalition. West Central Initiative is located in Fergus Falls. We support early childhood services across 9 counties and the White Earth Nation, and we work to coordinate early childhood services across Minnesota. The Prenatal to 3 Coalition is excited to see significant investments in Minnesota's youngest children, their families, and their caregivers in the DE2 amendment for House File 4735. We believe public investment aimed at supporting healthy growth, development, and learning will positively position children, families, and their caregivers for a lifetime of prosperity and make it possible for caregivers to offer quality services. All the speakers before, testifiers before me, really spoke about the same things that we were going to talk about. And so I wanted to end our testifying on a more personal level. And I would just like you to think about holding a baby for a moment and how that baby in your arms depends on us as adults for their life. They cannot survive without us. And then I look at that baby and I think about what is happening in their brain and how quickly it's developing, and it's developing the foundation for the rest of its life. And then beside me, I'm sitting in the state of Minnesota with a $9-something billion surplus. And I want to look at that baby. And can I say to that baby, whether I'm a legislator or a public person, as an adult in Minnesota, can I say to that baby that we don't have enough money to help you? We don't have enough money to make sure that you're well cared for in childcare. We don't have enough money to provide more funding for childcare providers. We don't have enough money to help your parents or your other caregivers, the things that they need to take the best care of you possibly. So my urge and my pleading for you today is to think about that baby when you look at the legislation and what we can and should be doing for the babies in our state of Minnesota. Thank you.
Ms. Jost, thank you so much for your comments and for all the work that you've done. I think that members of this committee, I suspect a number of us have received messages from you through the years, urging us in the direction that you've described. And we're just so lucky to have you doing this work in our state. Thank you. Members, we have reached the end of our testifiers. I want to see if there are questions that folks have for them. I'm feeling a little bit, I'm going to wait for those questions and hands being raised. It's a little bit unfortunate the way that this is structured, and that we're in the testimony today. And I'm now kind of regretting that we are not able to structure it in a way to have it at the same time as the bill markup at vote, because I guess I'll just note for myself that I found several of the testifiers to be just enormously powerful, including the person that we just heard from, Ms. Jost. And I would encourage all of us to keep these words with us through tomorrow. I guess I may have a couple more comments before we wrap up, but just to see if there's anything that members wish to provide a question on, or perhaps a brief comment on in relation to what the testifiers have said, as long as they are here, because they may wish to say something back. I'll just pause for that momentarily, because once we get past that, we'll be adjourning shortly, and then reconvening tomorrow. So I am not seeing hands raised. And so what I'm going to do is, I guess I'm just then going to build on what I was just saying before we wrap up, just that I would really urge all of us to carry this testimony that we've heard today with us as we return tomorrow. I guess especially I found particularly powerful Dr. Sheldon's opening words on our public testifiers and Ms. Joe's closing words. And would urge us to keep that in mind as we consider the bill tomorrow. And I know that we all will do that. And we'll have a full discussion when we return. So just looking to see if there's anything else from anybody. I'm not seeing hands being raised. And so members and members of the public, then the plan is that amendments will be due this afternoon if there are any for members. We will then be reconvening tomorrow at 8:30. And members of the public who are watching, I would urge you to rejoin us tomorrow at 8:30, where we'll have a discussion about the bill And there will be a vote, and then we'll move things on from there. Just looking to see if anything else. I'm not seeing any hands at all. And again, I express gratitude to all the testifiers, the public testifiers, and then those agency leaders that we heard at the start of our hearing, who are working incredibly hard with their teams every day, all day, to support young kids in Minnesota, and especially their families, which is critical as well. So, members, thank you so much. We will be back together tomorrow at 8:30, and this hearing is now adjourned. Thanks.